when he starts turning. Okay. Welcome to
Knowledge.
Okay.
Tell me one more personality charm.
Welcome to
Technologics.
Hi, and welcome to episode 35 of the nerdiest show in the world, Technologics. We're your hosts. I'm Gareth.
I'm Francis.
And I'm Sarah.
And here's another action-packed 30 minutes of tech news. Okay, first headline.
This is a terrible and tragic but
unsurprising story. An article in Rolling Stone magazine by the nephew of John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy Jr., reveals how George Bush, famous for having stolen the 2000 election, in fact stole the 2004 election as well. A vast list of statistics and facts have been uncovered by Kennedy, and lots of reports are quoted and cited, and he reveals a monstrous tally of electoral fraud. This consists of stuff like refusing to accept registrations from people in Democratic areas, primarily black people, removing voters who are already registered, failing to properly count ballots, machines which recorded the wrong vote, so when you pressed Democrat,
John Kerry
shined into Republican. That was what I was trying to impress. That's so bad, I can't remember. But he was such a boring guy anyway.
Yeah,
big grey head on him. Anyway, so it's a horrible tally of abuse, which seems so coordinated that it was planned rather than kind of individual areas around the country sort of did it off their own Republican corrupt backs. What do you think, guys?
It's rather shocking. There's like a huge amount of evidence to be quotes, so it's like Tons and tons of stuff to get through, but like an actual coordinated fraud, it's hard to believe, but
it's
possibly
possible.
People, yeah, you could definitely see maybe here and there people going, yeah, we'll just lose a couple of these Democrats' votes, like here, who cares, and the usual, like, we had the scandal before about people who were like, not getting to vote because their name sounded like some criminal, you know, it's like, oh, your name's too much like that guy who's in prison. Oh, you vote Democrat, so yeah, you're off the register.
Of course, in the States, they have the electoral college system, so if you don't get all the electoral colleges, or a majority of the electoral colleges, it doesn't matter if you get a majority of the vote, you don't win the election.
Yeah.
And Ohio is a swing state, and in Ohio, apparently a quarter of the eligible voters were taken off the register. A quarter of the people in the whole state couldn't vote, who should have been able to. That's a vast number. We're not talking about a few votes
yeah.
here. Oh, lads, you won't count this box. Like, yeah. This is like literally hundreds of thousands of people, probably possibly millions across the states. Kennedy alleges that in Ohio, 350,000 voters either couldn't vote or didn't have their votes counted. I mean, that's
insane.
That's absolutely crazy, and well more than would have thrown the election. It was only 100,000.
It's not for the land of the free where you get to vote, and it's democracy and all this, and we're bringing democracy to the rest of the world.
We can only vote if we vote for what we want, so.
Yeah. Our kind of democracy. The best kind.
That's like the great election Saddam had the year before they took him out, where he got 99% of the vote.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Exactly.
He's popular.
Why would you vote for that other guy?
Yeah, I don't
great.
Think it was. I think it was just you voted for him or you didn't. There was no other guy.
I see.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's like, how much do you like Saddam? You know, there's like a scale of 1 to 10. And if you scored less than like 8, you know, you got shot or something.
Yeah.
The
oh,
right, yeah. Does exit poll.
How did you vote?
Wow.
Go back and vote again. Change it. Where does his vote?
Here's your second vote. Vote again.
Get it right this time.
Get it right this time.
So, yes, more electoral fraud from the United States. Kelsey Priest. Don't expect your vote to count if you're American. And another interesting one is actually, I think it was 6 million. Yeah, half of the 6 million Americans abroad who were eligible to vote weren't able to. They didn't receive their remote voting apparatus, in this case a letter containing the form, on time. They got it so late, or else the vote was counted too late to be included. So that's 6 million people. And the election went down in Ohio to 100,000. And that's insane. And the thing about these irregularities, and there are so many of them, as you said, is that they are kind of...
They all swing towards Bush.
So overwhelming.
Bush benefited from all these way more than Kerry did.
But There were no voting machines which you mysteriously voted Democrat.
Mm.
There were no Republican ballots lost in majority in any state, so it's looking like a coordinated campaign.
Mm.
So is this going to happen for like their next election, and we're just going to be stuck with Bush again?
Well, I'm sure Bush is going to have a kid, so yeah, he's got a couple of daughters. Maybe we can get one of them. Condoleezza Rice seems
first
good.
First female president?
Yeah. Oh, why not? You know, apparently they
Keeping
like their...
the family?
Well, that's a whole other thing. I'm not sure Bush sleeps with his daughters, do you? Okay, whatever. You heard it here first. Bush sleeps with his daughters. Apparently they like to party, though. Ashton Kutcher
yeah.
was quoted in some magazine saying that
they like to party.
To smoke the bong.
Yeah.
So not only do they smoke daddy's dong, but they also smoke the bong. Okay. Moving on to the Bush family.
Bong.
Well, they're southerners, dude. They're all like that. You know, three heads and shit when they're born. Put off two of them to get them elected. Our next story.
Ooh, yes. This regards redefining journalism and the death of traditional journalism, which one blogger writes about. And essentially, he believes that... traditional journalism is dying, and it's on the way out, and it's a lot of crap. So, he believes that, essentially, journalists at the moment aren't objective, and they claim to be objective at all times and all this, but shows like Fox News, we know they're sure as hell. They're not objective in the slightest.
More of that
so,
later.
More of that later, but... He's saying, arguing that journalists should really just forget about being objective and just embrace subjectivity. And actually, if being subjective, then you can express opinions and, you know, you can be more honest in your reporting because you can say, okay, I'm reporting it this way, these are the facts, these are why I brought these in because I thought they were important and this is the way I'm presented. So you can kind of argue a point and you can make the point of, like, why you're viewing it this way, why you're reporting it this way. But of course it depends on someone being honest enough to say why they're taking a view and why they brought this evidence in and not that evidence. So in some ways it seems great, you know, because general bloggers are opinion, they take so much whatever stories they've read and things and they comment on them. And that's great because you get a whole pile of different piles of opinion. But the one kind of problem with this guy's argument is that if everyone's subjective, then the tendency would be to just go and look at the blogs that agree with your point of view. So that they end up going to Fox News and going, yeah, I'm a Republican, give me more Republican views, yeah, Iraq's great, it's much better now with us, hooray! We won the election fair and square, hooray! And then not switching to any other channels. So I think in some ways, yeah, subjectivity is okay. You know, because if you explain why you're coming from a certain point of view, but Fox News or such things like them just say, this is the truth, you know, and they're not displaying their bias. So, like, you know, people who look at it just go, oh, yeah, this is the truth. And they accept it like that. So I think people actually need to be more educated that there is subjectivity there in the first place, rather than everyone is objective. So I think he's talking about subjectivity, bring it in, but it's there already. It's just no one presents it or says we're not being 100% objective, because you can't be. Like us, we take stories and we don't take every story that occurs in the world. And we present our views on it, you know, we have a certain bias ourselves. But hopefully we finally get that across to you.
That's to the left, if you haven't
yeah.
noticed.
Just,
if you're wondering.
Just over there in the corner. Way to the left.
But yeah, this is obviously the idea that you can be objective is a nonsense. There's no such thing as objectivity. I mean, the very existence, the concept of objectivity is a nonsense. Anyone who's read any postmodern philosophy will tell you that.
Because there's tons of them.
But it's not even regarded as, like, it doesn't make semantic sense. You can't have a neutral point of view about anything. Like, if you say there are 200 people alive in the world, well then, you know, there are people on the edge of life, you know, being resuscitated, who technically, you know, where do you draw that? There's nothing succinct when you break it down about any even statistic, and the statistics are collated in a biased way, you know, and there's a certain margin for error. There's no 100% true fact. Everything has a bias. So if you admit your bias, then you take care of that problem. And
yeah.
People can decide to trust you or not with the awareness. Fox News is a perfect example. Fair and balanced.
Fair and balanced.
And they're the most unbalanced channel in the history of television.
Exactly, but they don't display, or they don't promote, say, you know, we are actually biased in a certain side, you know.
Which is even worse.
You see it from watching it, but like for someone who's just like, if someone arrived in America and didn't know anything about it, just starts watching Fox News, it's like, oh yeah, they're great.
Yeah, if you're sitting on the couch chewing the cud, like, you know, went to school and stuff, and you're just eating your Pringles or whatever. Gee, Ma, Fox News pretty good. Lots of, like, pictures and graphics and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, that helps.
You're looking to know better, like, you know, so.
So, yeah. Exactly. It's a bit crazy, you know, that you have. But, like, the whole point is the people that are just going to end up going along and watching things that actually agree with their point of view. So they're going to go along with, I watch Fox News because they're Republicans and they view the world this way, and Fox News are just going to give them exactly what they want to hear. It's like, yeah, exactly, going to Iraq was a good idea. Yeah, war. Let's pump some more money into the military and fucking kick those Democrats. And yeah, we won the election. Hooray!
Those towel heads, they love it anyway.
Yeah, exactly, they love it over there.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, so...
You just don't want to say it.
Next story is called Tag the Fuckers. I didn't write the headline. They did. There we go. Anyway, oh, it's proposal by Scott Silverman from Very Chip Corporation that the US should put RFID tags in all the immigrants, so, you know, they can keep track of where they are and, I don't know, in case they do some terrible immigrant things. I don't know, but yeah, it just kind of seems like it's kind of a proposal to kind of, you know, push people towards RFID, and like, it's kind of unlikely that they're actually going to be, you know, implanting the immigrants as they enter the country. And
because most of them sneak over the border.
There you go.
And in trucks and tunnel.
Another story this week.
Yeah, the tunnel.
See what they're doing in Texas. They're setting up cameras so that you'll be able to log on to the website and watch the border cams.
No
and like
way.
Ring a phone number and say, like,
I see the legal immigrants, I don't know him.
Cover 26.
He's got black hair.
But it'd be so much better if they tied guns to that. You could make a video game out of it, you know, like a web controlled turret or something.
Yeah.
And then you could have like prizes and high scores and shit.
Yeah, they could be like, you know, Big Brother. Like, you know, I've seen another immigrant, and it's like, oh, you can watch him catching, like, he's gone left, he's gone right.
Maybe you can direct a robot with snippers, like one of the joysticks.
Yeah, whoever helps the authorities catch him is like, yay, with a prize.
This is good. This is a really good idea, because, I mean, I had an immigrant, and I lost him. If he'd had a tag, I would have known how to pick him out from all the other, like, you know, funny coloured people that I look
exactly.
all the same and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Well... it's a dumb idea because it's being sold by the guy who makes the chips, so it's like, yeah, here's our solution, this will solve all your problems. And frankly, those who they're trying to track are usually the illegal immigrants and the people who are going to cause trouble, and frankly, they're not going to keep the chips in their hands or arms or wherever the hell they want to stick it.
They already tag your passport when you come into the country anyway.
Yeah,
an RFID chip in your passport when you
but they're talking about in immigrants and guest workers, so that means anyone who could be working in the US. So if like you're working for a big corporation and you end up going over there and working in, say, their head office or something like this, you'll get a chip implanted into you, quite possibly, because you're a guest worker.
That's like,
ooh, you might do something.
There was a company there recently, and for security, all their admins who worked in the data center were going to have to get RFID tags. And of course, this was like optional, but obviously you're not going to be able to go to work if you don't get the tag, so...
What, implanted into them?
Yeah, this was like the company's plan to increase security, that everyone who went into the data center would be tagged.
So what's that to stop me, like, to cut a hunk out of your neck where the chip is and wandering in with that video?
You don't actually even have to do that. If it's a passive chip, you can just get a reader. If you can copy the number, the data it spits back, and just program another one and just... implanted or
probably more fun if it cut it out of your neck.
Well, yeah, probably.
A big bloody dripping pocket. It's probably a good
your head and just like calling brr. That's gonna rule. It's really worth doing. I'm just thinking, do that. So more on Giuseppe tagging in the future. Obviously, the Roman Christians are having great fun with this because it ties in with Revelations. You have some quotes on the website.
Oh, can we get to read them in a scary voice?
You go ahead.
Another angel, a second, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon, the great she who made all the nations drink the wine of her impure passion. If anyone worships the beast in its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he shall drink the wine of God's wrath, poured unmixed into the cup of his anger. and he shall be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Well, personally, I don't really want to drink from God's unholy cup. So.
Come here. It's a drink from my unholy cup.
Sounds like an action movie.
Come here.
Yeah, so this is great because, you know, righties and lefties can get together in this one and say, don't tag us. This is bad.
Just leave us alone.
And leave those little brown people alone. Okay, moving on to our next story. Oh, this is a great one. This is about how it's becoming impossible to do amateur science in the United States, particularly chemistry, because the websites that sell chemicals are being shut down because of security threats. They're making it almost impossible, essentially, to perform your own chemistry at home. So also people who have chemistry kits at home or labs set up in their basement for their research are getting raided, attacked by large men in jackets who are beating them and stealing their chemicals. They're taking their bank away. So this sucks, basically. And it seems the end for amateur research. And children are no longer also able to buy chemistry kits with actual chemicals. They can buy kits with, like, Play-Doh and, like, magic dust and, like, balloons and stuff, but you can't do real science with that kind of stuff, so...
Yeah, exactly. And the interesting thing I found from the story was that, like, so many big names in science and technology actually started out as little kids running around creating their own little small explosives and blowing them off in fields and things.
Mm.
And these people, like, became, you know, heads of industry, you know, creating multi-billion dollar companies.
Intel co-founder Gordon Moore, who you might recognize from Moore's Law, a little bit famous, that one. Vince Cerf, who basically created TCP/IP.
And David Packard, who created Hewlett-Packard.
These people played with themselves. I mean, they played with their kids when they were kids.
Yeah, exactly. And they created little bombs. And, you know, today, if those guys are around, like, they'd be, you know, someone would be calling the police and they'd be raiding their home.
This is a good thing. If we're making, like, nerdiness illegal, that'll make it cool and everyone will want to do it. Let's legalize more nerdy things.
Yeah, but you think that, but pedophilia is getting less cool by the day. I keep trying to bring it back, but they're just like those damn laws. People think it's so wrong. Yeah. Anyway, so this is bad. More science and chemicals.
More for nerds. Yeah, it's kind of crazy that, like, in some states it's illegal to own certain types of glassware. You can't own a beaker. So it's a piece of glass. No, step away from the glass. Careful, you might do something with it.
It's so absurd. You can run a wire into a gas tank in a car and make a bomb. You know, you can make a bomb from any kind of home.
But you can buy bullets.
I'll show you how.
You can buy bullets in Walmart.
But
you can't own a piece of glass.
It's a security culture gone mad. Fear-driven economy, fear-driven laws.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy. And certainly, it's discouraging schools from even teaching science because kids in the schools, first of all, can't get the glassware because they have to get big licenses and say, oh no, we're not going to be making bombs.
We're a reputable organization.
We're a school, for God's sakes.
They're champagne glasses.
Yeah, and they have the same problem with, like, different chemicals.
We drink from tubes.
So, like, kids who are going to school don't end up getting hands-on experience with science or anything like that. They end up just reading their textbooks. So obviously no one's going to be that much interested in just reading about a chemical reaction. Like, kids get excited by seeing, you know, foaming things and chemicals,
like,
changing
chemical
colours
and
all this and chemical burns and all that kind of fun crack. So, like, you know, and making stink bombs and things exploding, like, you know, and flashes and all that. But, like,
not that we, you know, condone any of
that. Not
this.
That we condone any of that at all. But
side, there does seem to be kind of an underground developing of chemists, junior chemists, and mad scientists who are trading this stuff illegally. Bad side is they all go to jail eventually, but good side is it shows, you know, the spirit of creativity is not dead.
Plus, it's pretty cool that they're all getting together and they're all coming up with, like, the ways to actually. They can't buy these chemicals anymore, so they're, like, raiding, going through their hardware stores, coming into the kitchen sink, and looking literally at whatever detergents they have and seeing if they can get whatever they need out of that. They're all trading ideas on how to do this. So it's gone back to, like, 18th, 19th century, where you had to, like, literally make all the chemicals you needed yourself. Which is pretty nuts.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
It's going to teach you quite a bit, I suppose.
Yeah, it's definitely if you're really into it, but it kind of sucks that if you want to do one simple experiment as a kid, you have to go off and hurry into cabinet, and Mammy is like going, where's the washing up liquid? I'm making a bomb! God damn it, woman!
We should remember that. I mean, this is pretty much just bringing the United States into the way it has already been over here and in the UK for a good many years due to terrorism. I mean, it's not like you can buy chemicals in your average Irish hardware store. It's very, very difficult, and you need all sorts of licenses, so we're already suffering the effects. And as a result, I don't know when you were in school, but when we had chemistry class, there were no experiments. It was like all discussion and...
No, we did experiments.
Yeah.
We did. It was only your school. We did experiments, yeah, totally. Chemistry experiments all the way.
God damn it.
Chemistry, well...
Yeah.
I had the worst school ever.
Yeah.
I did dissect an eye, though.
Oh, God.
So did I.
Still have it.
Okay. Is this one right here?
I tried it in my own way. Moving on.
Oh, yeah. That's me. It's me.
Oh.
Yeah, it's me.
Is it?
It's supposed to be me.
It's supposed to be her, like it says S.
Oh, no, you got it.
Okay, the net as the enemy. This is like one of the Pentagon's plan for their war on terrorism, I believe.
War on everyone, I think.
Well, yeah, I think at this stage we could just go war on anyone who's not America. That they want to kind of control the internet and all sorts of like electromagnetic spectrum and kind of use it to fight the enemy. And basically just kind of control everything electronic.
Yeah, there was a...
That was succinct.
that was very short. Recent documents that have been released under the Freedom of Information Act in the US detail a piece of something called the Information Operations Roadmap, which was written by the Pentagon, I believe, in 2003 and signed at the end by Donald Rumsfeld, so obviously he thinks it's great. And basically it proposed how the US military would fight an internet war where like the internet is the enemy.
And using their propaganda. Via blogs, website, and physically via unmanned aerial vehicles. So does that mean you have some little kind of broadcasting thing floating around, you know, spreading
yes.
propaganda?
The US is
that would
great.
Be awesome.
We are freeing you. We are freeing you. Hooray!
I think one of the things we're talking about doing is flying zeppelins above countries and broadcasting TV from them, and also screwing up their electromagnetic spectrum.
Well, it's definitely a step up from just dropping truckloads of flyers on them.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to move with the times.
That's because it's going to kill anyone it hits as well. Huge truck filled with
paper cuts everywhere.
I was thinking more of the truck.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Just a few stress rates. Probably you've been lots of time. How much time have we got there, camera dude?
7 minutes.
7 minutes left?
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Rush through these last stories. Okay, they're producing a game in Iran. The Union of Islamic Student Societies. Iranians, obviously not known for their gaming tendencies, more their durka tendencies. producing a game in which US Special Forces kidnap Iranian scientists, and you, as Commander Batman, must save the Iranian nuclear scientists from the evil
United States.
Commander
Batman. It's not.
It's so close, though.
Batman.
Batman.
Okay. That's it. So you can play that when it comes out. Shoot Americans if that's your thing.
Okay. Right. Anyway, the EU is proposing, well, suggested that it might put a tax on text messages and emails. Hooray! So the question is, like, who would actually pay this tax? How the hell would, if us, the little people, were forced to pay it, how the hell would we? Well, obviously it's going to just...
Speak for yourself, I'm not little.
Okay,
it's true.
Aww.
No, it doesn't matter. Anyway, there are a variety of proposals before the EU Commission, and essentially there have been negotiation difficulties with the EU budget. Essentially, they can't figure out how to pay for all the things that have to be paid. So this is one idea of how to get a bit more cash in. And frankly, I don't know, it's a bit daft. Certainly on emails, it's crazy. How the hell are you going to pay for emails?
Coin slot on every PC.
Coin slot.
The only way to be able to pay for it is to authenticate every email, which means goodbye internet privacy.
But goodbye spam.
Oh, really?
Unless.
Oh, really?
Really?
You think there will be. Of course there will. They just
yeah,
get around the authentication mechanism.
Yeah, that was like. Yeah, who's
they'll,
the
they'll
to get rid
steal
of
your. Most spam now is coming from zombie PCs anyway.
Yeah, I suppose.
So you'll, not only will you get spam, but you'll get a huge bill when the spam shoots out of your PC.
No.
Well, we won't. It'll be people who don't know how to get rid of that sort of zombieware. But, yeah, so. The little people.
The little people. The real little people. The sheep.
Sheepin. I like that.
The sheepin.
Yeah.
The sheepin.
Okay.
Okay, next story is Big Oil attacks Gore. Gore has released a new film called An Unconvenient Truth, which is about kind of anti-global warming and how big oil is affecting global warming. And, of course, the oil companies have come out with, you know, their criticism of this film, saying they're just denying the effect of global warming and, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Big oil. Global warming. It's not happening.
No, it's just
the ice caps, yeah, they do that. Yeah, that's what ice caps do. It's ice.
It melts. Come on,
it melts.
Obvious.
Come on.
You've seen how sunny it gets up there.
Exactly, yeah.
The North Pole. Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
This is the best headline we've ever had.
Best ever. Okay, make more babies to catch up with the brown people. So, Fox News pundit John Gibbons suggested on his show, the big story, the white Americans should get busy making babies. Because that's what the Hispanics and the brown people are doing. And we need to catch up because suddenly it would be very brown in America. I wouldn't like that at all. So.
Just think of all the people I'll have to exclude from elections. I mean,
exactly.
Oh, so
my God,
there'll
be like one guy voting.
Exactly.
Be Bush.
100% turnout. One guy turned off. Hi. Oh, you voted Republican. No. Get out. Get out.
I pressed Democrat, but it just came up Republican.
I tried again.
It's got to be easier to rig an election with only one vote, though. So at least it'll save money as a rigging.
Recount. I like a recount. Yeah, he voted Republican. Would you like to check it again? Have it here.
His other reason is also interesting. It's white Europeans are having less kids and there's immigration in Europe, hence Eurabia. This is his term,
Eurabia,
because it's filling up with Islamos, or whatever he calls them, by the way.
Yeah, whatever politically correct term it has for them.
You can criticize this guy as being racist, but who wants the brown people to take out war anyways? This is horrible. This is evil and racist, and he should be not only taken from TV, but he should be not in prison, but beaten with sticks, definitely.
Yeah, definitely left in Arabia to rot.
Yeah, his program should be broadcast in every Arabian country, every Islamic country, and he should reap the fruits of his seed up there. This is a bit of a screwy metaphor there.
Yeah.
Fruits of his seed.
Oh, okay, why don't we just make it the fruits of his loins?
This dude has no pretty loins. You've seen a picture. His loins are
fruity. Kind of more wrinkly, prunish.
Pruny loins.
Let's not talk about his loins.
The prunes of his loins. Okay. Now time for our media film. Do you want to go first there, Francine? Francie, baby. Hands off the merchandise.
I don't want to touch it anyway.
He touched it before.
He's just bitter.
That's the taste of the leaf.
Okay, I've just won this week, and it's a cool mod or a cool design for if you're building a PC. This is what you should really make your case look like. It looks like a weapon of mass destruction. It's even got this cool countdown thing. It's deadly. It's like when the feds finally break in to like go, "What have you been downloading?" They go, "Oh my god,
it's a W.
Get down, get down. It's just like the movies." Someone get me the thing. Is it the blue wire or the red wire? That's a musical play in the background. It'll get tenser and tenser.
Somebody get Jack Bauer on the phone. He's an actor, you fucking... No,
yeah, Jack Bauer. Where's CGU when you need him? Actually, they're the worst counter-terrorist unit ever.
Yeah, so many moles and stuff.
Yeah, actually, yeah. They're crap. Because there's always terrorists going on, they're always attacking.
They blew them up in the last season.
Yeah, exactly.
One of them anyway.
They're crap. They should be all just sitting there going, there's another attempt there. Lock them up.
Wouldn't be as exciting a show, but it's not great anyway. So, Sarah?
Oh, my media pimp is incredibly nerdy, they tell me. Well, it probably is.
Oh, yes.
this guy has made Programon. It represents a website as a graph, depending on like how many links they have and what tables they use and what kind of hierarchy their website uses. So it displays it in a nice, shiny, colourful graph. And it's like really interesting to compare the different sites. Like, he has ones for like Boing Boing and Dig and like MSN and stuff. And it's just really interesting.
Well, we can all agree it's really interesting.
Nerdy! You're a nerd as well. You're a sci-fi nerd. That's worse.
Okay, moving on. I've got a few. I'll just run through them really quickly. The first two are from... they're from... Oh, I looked at the circle. You can push me in. They're from Bernie Goldbach. Heads up there, Bernie. CC Hits is a website where you can get the latest CC Hits. It's like a Dig, but for Creative Commons music. You look at this website, and you can see which of the most popular Creative Commons tunes which have been released. So it's a good way to see, sort the wheat from the chaff. A lot of Creative Commons music is very, very poor. A lot is great too, but sometimes it's hard to find it. So that's a good way to find a theme for your podcast or whatever. List of Podsafe Music, you go into Bernie's blog there. He's got a huge list of resources where you can find Creative Commons and Podsafe Music. How to Protect Yourself from Big Brother is a website where you can find out how to surf the web and go onto all those lovely kiddie porn sites and not get caught. It's not my site, but it's another similar site, which is this advice. Cooked and Bombed is a forum for Peter Cook and Christopher Marks, greatest comic genius in history, fans. And Monkey Mail is a website where you can send an email and a monkey will speak it.
You're kidding.
So you can make a monkey out of the person you're sending it to.
Oh dear.
I see.
Right. yeah.
So
hilarious.
Right, shut up. This has been Technologics Week 35.
Our theme tune this week is the track Mutandino by Esso, available free from magnitude.com.
Otra beta, esa vuelta de más te va a matar. Nada fluye si te atas, esa culpa estrangula nada más. Tu propia soga preparas. Síguelo, 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 síguelo. Síguelo, síguelo, síguelo. No ves que es cierto. Cada vez que el odio maneje tu andar, estarás perdiendo otra oportunidad. Esa mirada sucia te va a encerrar. Solo tristeza y soledad. Para cuando despiertes lloverá. La necedad no tiene vuelta atrás. Todos tenemos eso imperceptible. Llevamos gente hacia otro lado. Todos podemos ser mucho menos humanos y sin embargo no nos enteramos que vamos hacia un mismo lado, que nos duele el mismo. Thank you. el odio. Maneje tu andar, estarás perdiendo otra oportunidad.